The new Sprint LTE Plus network is faster than Verizon and AT&T based on analysis of a recent study by Nielsen. And to celebrate, we're inviting you to join Sprint for the biggest offer in U.S. wireless history. Switch to Sprint and save 50% on most Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile rates. Yep, you heard that right. No gimmicks, no tricks. You have Verizon 6 gig for $60, 30 with Sprint. And if you have 15 gigs for $100 from AT&T, 50 with Sprint. Even if you have T-Mobile's 10 gig for $80, we'll give it to you for 40. And we won't force you to watch video in low def. Oh, and one more thing. We'll even pay your switching fees up to $650 per line so you can switch to the Sprint LTE Plus network today. Visit a Sprint store or sprint.com/save50%.
Offer coverage not available everywhere for discounted phones. Excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, and premium content. Subject to new line $36 activation fee. Credit valid for in plans may not be exact match. See website for eligible plans. Offer ends 1/7/16, savings through 1/8/18. Exclusions and restrictions apply. Contract by audio. Reward card requires online registration.
Good morning, this is Dr. Gregory Scott. Welcome you to Glory United Ministries program. Today, Pastor Brennan said she wants me to take the lead on the program, so I thought we'd begin with a little Christmas music, and then I'll tell you what the theme is after the prayer.
Bells on bobtails ring.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in that one-horse open sleigh. What fun it is to be in God's wonderful world. This is Dr. Gregory Scott talking to you once again on Glory United Ministries. This is our Thursday program. And let's start with a prayer as we often do. Heavenly Father, we assemble ourselves before you. Those of us who are sitting at our homes right now listening live, and those of us, Lord, who are listening in the archives, we assemble ourselves before you in great and glorious humility. And thank you, Lord, for your blessings, for allowing us once again to come into your presence, to wake up this morning glorifying you, filled with joy, happiness, knowing that you are kind and merciful. And Lord, we feel, yes, we do, the bounty of the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, we open our arms, our hands, our hearts. We open our bodies. We open every single cell to be blessed and filled with your Holy Ghost. Lord, we know that this is the month in which people gather and assemble to praise you for allowing your Son Jesus to be manifested in our presence, to come with the message that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and to bring forth from each of us and take away from each of us and every one of us on this planet the weight of the sins that we have accumulated on our own. Now, Lord, we know that you did not create sin and put it on us. Lord, we know that sin was there, and we assembled it and accepted it and held it to our hearts until Jesus came and blessed us with his presence. Lord, we ask once again that you allow us to recognize and experience the healing that we need, whether it shows up, Lord, in heart, head, blood, kidneys, feet, diabetes, wherever it shows up. We know that these diseases were not put on us because you want us to have them. We know that these diseases are here because of the choices that we have exercised, the choices we've chosen about what we eat, about how we live, the choices we've chosen about whether or not we can live in love and live in anger. We know, Lord, that every physical disability that we have is a reflection of choices that we've made. In some cases, they're choices made by our parents and grandparents and have been passed down. But they were choices, Lord. So, Lord, we ask and pray that you will uplift, continue to uplift and protect us and keep us away and outside of the iniquities that come to us from around us, be they from friends, relatives, neighbors, or even strangers. Lord, we call on and invoke the protection and ask that you gather and assemble your holy angels around us and charge them, Lord, with the responsibility of protecting us and keeping us from all harm. Now, Lord, these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to do a little bit of the Christmas song for y'all. This was done by the likes of The Whispers, Nat King Cole. I think a lot of people have kind of taken a spin on this record, so now I want to do a little bit of it myself. Okay?
Yeah.
Yes, Merry Christmas to every single one of you. Pastor Benjamin has asked me to bring the message today. And I want to say to you, friends, this is the time to reflect. This year seems to have come and gone. Now, I know this is not time for the New Year's message, but it is time to take a moment to think about and to wonder about what Merry Christmas really means. Not just the greeting, not just walking past people and saying Merry Christmas. In fact, the other day, it seemed like just 2 weeks ago, one of my neighbors is from another country, kept saying something. His door opened, and he lives about, his door is about 25 feet from mine. He says, Happy Thanksgiving. And I said, what are you saying? He said, Happy Thanksgiving. Could you say that again, please? And I started walking toward him, and he started walking toward me. Happy Thanksgiving. And he kept walking to me. And finally, we were about 3 feet from each other. I think if someone had been walking by us on the street, they might have thought we were about to hug. We were that close. And he said, Happy Thanksgiving. And I realized he was saying, Happy Thanksgiving. Now, here's a man who probably hasn't spoken to me in a complete sentence or paragraph, probably more than once or twice. But yet, it was important to him just to share with me the greeting for the day and the occasion. And so there are many people who go by us, who walk past us right now in that moment and will say, Merry Christmas. People with whom we may never have spoken, whose company we have never been. But is it only about the greeting? There's a television program that I will admit that I've watched faithfully, and I understand that this coming Sunday they're going to give people who are watching the program a chance to binge watch. And binge watch means you can watch every episode in the same day. The program is called Being Mary Jane. And basically it's about this African-American woman who you may recognize, the actress Gabrielle Union, and all of her adventures. Today, we're not going to talk about being Mary Jane. We're going to talk about being you and being me. Because Christmas is a time to reflect the ways in which, reflect upon the ways in which God's message governed the choices that Joseph, the man who raised Jesus from a child, who married his mother, the choices that he exercised, and how those choices led him to protect Jesus in those early days, and how they brought him to where he is today. So I want you to use this time that you have to reflect upon the choices that Jesus made, I should say that Joseph made, and what life might have been like, not only for him, but certainly for us, had he not exercised those choices. Now let's just take a moment to look at Matthew, where Jesus was, and I should say where Mary was informed that she was going to bear Jesus, the Son of God. And most importantly, the ways in which God, through his angels, guided the choices that Joseph had to make. So here Joseph loved Mary and was betrothed by to her, and yet when he discovered that she was with child, Joseph had a choice to make. So if you look at Matthew 18, it said, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." This is chapter, paragraph 18, in the first chapter. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which interpreted is God, God is with us. And Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord bidden him, and took unto him his wife." Now think about the choice that Joseph had to make in that point. Think about the choice. How many times are we given the opportunity to make choices? When God has spoken to us, when others have brought to us God's words, and we have gone the other direction, do we need an angel of the Lord to come to us in a dream? Do we need an angel to appear to us out here? Or can we recognize the fact that God is speaking to us all the time? And how might things have been had not Joseph exercised the godly choice? But it continues. because Herod, as you know, became jealous, was jealous and fearful of the fact that a king of the Jews had been born somewhere in the land, which is something he had learned from the wise men that visited him. And Herod set about to kill and destroy all children, ages two and below. And again, Joseph made a choice, because he was informed by an angel to rise and take the infant and his wife into Egypt. Now, how might life have been for us had not Joseph exercised that choice? Could he not be like sometimes we have been when God has given us a message to do something, or some wise or some wisdom has occurred to us, and we'd say, oh no, I'm not going to do that now. I know a better way. But Joseph didn't do that. He took his family to Egypt. Just think, how might life have been had Joseph had been in that moment as hard-headed as some of us have been in the face of what we know God wants us to do. And we put it off and put it off and put it off. How many of us deny the presence of God in our lives? How many of us ignore the directions that God gives us and just put it off. Tell you a little story about a little Christmas story on my home. A friend gave me this wonderful wreath that all you had to do was put two batteries in it, come on in the evening, and these lights would come on. And people, passerbys would look and see that wreath and say, now there's a man who enjoys Christmas. Or if they understand the relationship between the light and Jesus' light, they could say, there's a man that enjoys Christmas and celebrates Christmas in his heart all year, whether the wreath is up or not. So because of storage problems, I kept that wreath in another place. And a few times I went over there and to retrieve some of my belongings that were stored elsewhere. And I would reach down, and there would be that box with the wreath. And I'd get that nudge that would say to me, now you need to take that wreath. Just take that over. I know you don't have that much space, but you can find the space for it. Take it on home. And like many of us, I said, well, I can do that later. I don't need that right now. I mean, this is June. It's August. It's September. It's October. It's November. I don't need it. Well, friends, I want to report to you that having ignored that nudge, I went over there, and somehow the occupants of that place either misplaced it or given it away. So you've got to follow those nudges. You don't need an angel to appear. You don't need to have the trumpet of the Lord to play. You just need to know that God is speaking to you and giving you wisdom in that moment. Now, on this program, Being Mary Jane, there's a character there who is a Latin woman, Hispanic, who was in an argument of sorts with her husband on the show, not Mary Jane's husband. The friend's name is Kara. And she asked her husband, she says to him, look, I want to understand how you came to be here. Now, that's the question. In fact, that is the topic, the theme of my message today, is to ask you the question, how did you come to be here? How did you come to this point in your life? And the extension of that is, where are you going? And what are you doing right now? And that same question, of course, applies to me. Gregory Scott, how did you come to be here? What are you doing with and for God? And where are you going from here? What's next? Now, Kara said to her husband, look, I'm Puerto Rican. And I knew that in order to progress in life, I had to get out of this ghetto that I'm living in. And I knew I had to go to college. And I knew I had to get a degree. And Kara's husband is white. And I knew that in order to live somewhere, I need to live in a community. And also, I need to be married to somebody white. She says, well, you're white. Now, how did you come to be here? What path did you follow to be here? So by the same token, I ask you, just like Joseph had to make choices, how did you come to be here? Just think about it. Suppose Joseph, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and said, Joseph, you may now return to your homeland. Suppose Joseph had said in Egypt, oh, no, I love it here. We love it down here in Egypt. People are treating us like kings. My boys get to go to a really nice school, and my wife is wearing nice clothes, and the work that I do as a carpenter, I'm making a lot of money. I'm just going to stay down here in Egypt. But Joseph heard what the Lord had said to him, just like we have to hear what the Lord is saying to us. And Joseph said, I shall return. Now, what we don't know is, I want to put this on the table, from the time that Joseph returned to Nazareth, except for Jesus' conversations in the synagogue with the elders, we don't know what Jesus was doing before he presented himself to his cousin, John the Baptist, for baptism. Now, we don't have that kind of detail. But for ourselves, though, we do know what we have been doing. And we do know what choices we have made. Are the choices that we're making God-directed? Do you need an angel of the Lord to appear before you? Do you need to follow? Can you follow that inner wisdom? Can you trust the Lord that the Lord is guiding every step of your life? And if you misstep, can you trust the fact that God is loving you enough that when you step back, you'll be heading the right way? There was a time in my life, dear friends, and some of you may have heard this story already, where I decided that what had been presented to me as a young child about God in my life and no longer made sense. I couldn't get my mind around it. So I said, well, if God is God, then God will prove it to me. And I want to tell you, friends, that one day I was thinking about that, and the Holy Ghost descended upon me in such a way that I practically could not stand. And only when I said, yes, God, I know you are here, and God is God, that the Holy Ghost let me stand up. And from that time, dear friends, the choices I've exercised one way or the other have been tremendous learning experiences, and they have certainly led to help me understand how my choices have brought me to where I am, like Mary Jane, being Mary Jane. Think about your choices. Think about what's going on in your life. Think about whether or not every day can be a Merry Christmas, a Christmas in which God fully surrounds, sustains, and uplifts you every single moment. Now, let's just take a moment and hear Babyface bring us the Christmas song. Wish us Merry Christmas. I'm happy to let you know that Pastor Benjamin is going to share some words with us as well.
Amen. We thank God for Jesus and thank Jesus for the blood. I am so glad to be along with you today to bring the word of God into your hearing. It is a good thing to dwell in the house of the Lord. For David said, I was glad when they said unto me, oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. Yes, it is December, the calendar month of which they have chosen in the United States of America to celebrate the Christ child, Jesus, the Son of the Living God, who was born in Bethlehem, lying in a manger. The scripture said that you would find him. Herod was interested in this baby Jesus. Herod was up to no good. Herod didn't mean Jesus any good. Herod didn't want to come out of his sinful ways. Herod wanted to continue to be who he was, but he knew that if he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, the Son of the true and living God, that even his life would change, because Herod the king sat in darkness. Herod did not want the light to come to the world because he did not want to change. He did not want to be saved. So therefore, he put out a plea, where do we find this Christ child? Where is this baby? Where will this baby be? And someone told Herod, well, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Oh, that excited him because he knew where Bethlehem was. So therefore, he sent out the wise men to seek out this Jesus. Go find and see if this is true. Go find the place where they say that he will lay. Go and find it and let me know. When you see him, ah, God, I thank you. When you see him, as the scripture has said, lying in a manger, come back and let me know. I've got something up my sleeve, but I can't tell you what I'm about to do. I want to kill him. But the wise men, being led by God, did move in. The children would say they kept it real. They did not go back and report to Herod the king, but they went on praising God because they had found the Word of God. When you find the Word of God, you don't have to really worry about being Mary Jane and where you're going to live and where you're going to be. And you know what I like about Jesus? I can serve him in the ghetto. I can find peace in the ghetto serving my God, because I know that I'm not living to live in the ghetto forever. I am living to go back with Jesus. Oh, I thank God because he is real. All my doubts are settled, and I know that the God I serve, the one who brought light into this dark world of sin, I know he's real. Oh, and that's what I'm focused on today, that the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, is real, and he is King of kings, and he is Lord of lords. That is why the angel said, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth, and mercy, my God, and sinners are reconciled. Because Jesus was born, he made the way of escape through his blood that he shed on Calvary's cross, that you and I could say, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, have yourself a Merry Christmas, but keep Christ in Christmas. Without God, I can do nothing. Without him, I would fail. So without Jesus in your life, there is no Mary to your Christmas. You are in doom and gloom. So you must recognize the baby Jesus for who he is. He is life everlasting. Someone wrote a song saying, he's my joy and sorrow. Huh, God, I thank you. He's my hope for tomorrow. He's my friend when I'm friendless. He's my mother and my father. He's my sister and my brother. He's my doctor and my lawyer. And I won't take it back because he's been so good to me. Oh, God, I feel Jesus in this place. The joy of Christmas. The angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. Ah, this is the sign, people of God. Have you found your sign? Or are you still looking for God to send you a word? Someone said, I need a word from the Lord. Well, if you have Jesus, you have the word, because he is the word. The Bible declares in the book of John, verses, in the beginning was the word. If you have found him and he lives on the inside of you, you house the word all the time. Do you need a special word? Sometimes we do, but again, you have the word on the inside of you. If you would start to talk to your word that's on the inside of you, your word will talk back to you. Oh, yes, I know there are times that God permits the prophet to give you a word, but even at that, I heard Dr. Scott talked about John the Baptist. Yes, when Elizabeth was carrying John in her belly, when Mary stepped through the door, John began to leap in Mary's belly because the Holy Ghost had shown up. The Holy One had shown up. The Christ child in the belly of his mother was still making connections, had not even been delivered yet, had not been born. That's just how powerful the baby is on the inside of you. At least that's the way it should be, that the baby is so powerful that even if you come in contact with him, something on the inside of you should start to move. But if, beloved, if you have nothing, then Billy Preston wrote a song, said nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Oh, bless his name. But you see, Elizabeth couldn't say that because she had something on the inside of her that connected with her cousin Mary, the Holy One, the baby Jesus Christ. Oh, the Son of the living God. So go on and try to make things happen on your own. But with Christ, over in the book of Matthew, it lets you know, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible, whether you're on the mountaintop or whether you're in the valley so low. But with God, it's possible. Someone said, I don't know when and I don't know where, but where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. I thank God for Dr. Scott this morning for stepping up to the plate. I was not feeling well in my body, and I began to pray. I began to activate my baby. Thank you, Jesus. I activated my baby on the inside of me. And right now I can tell you out there in radio land that I feel good. I feel good down in my soul because he lives. I can face tomorrow. So hark the herald. Forget about Herod. Mm-hmm. Herod was about bad as being Mary Jane. Had no life, my God in heaven. But hark the herald, angels sing, glory, glory to the newborn king. Now to get back to the song, said chestnuts are roasting on an open fire. Well, God made chestnuts, so it's okay. Everything that was made, God made it. So if you have a chestnut, God allowed the seed to come forward, and he called that seed chestnut. So if your chestnuts is roasting on an open fire, and that's beautiful. Jack Frost, well, he's a part of God's creation as well. We thank God for the frost. It sweetens the ground. It sweetens the vegetables, give them much tenderness. I love when the frost is around this time of the year. I like to put my vegetable out. I had a balcony once, and I would put my greens out and things like that, the cabbage, so that the frost would hit them and it would make them tender and sweet to the taste of the mouth. Yes, yes, I thank God for Jack Frost and the Santa Claus. Ah, let's get to Santa Claus because Santa tries to, he's a part of Herod. He wants to do away with the Christ child. Santa wants you to think that Christmas is all about him. But we need to teach ourselves and our children that Jesus is the reason for the season. And yes, they didn't know what else to do with it, so they remembered the wise men brought gifts to the baby Jesus. So instead of them saying, let's just give Jesus a gift, they said, well, let's just create a Santa Claus and let our children believe that Santa Claus is good. He's a good person. He's a good character, a good background. He don't live in the ghetto. He lives in the North Pole, and he takes all year to get all of these gifts to give out to our children. Well, he was just as fictitious as can be. I know you may not like this, but I have to tell the truth. Jesus is the reason for the season. Ain't nobody in no red suit making gifts all year long to pass out to you. I wonder why, you know, in where I come from, that there were some things that I saw children want for Christmas. I was never one of those type of children. Whatever my mother gave me, I was appreciative. But I had some family members in my house that I grew up with, some siblings, that if they didn't get from Santa what they asked for, they lips were poked out, and they were miserable most of the day. But I took my little stuff, and I went on, and I heard my mother say, I love to buy things for Patty, because no matter what she gets, she appreciates it. And she said, that make my heart glad. She did the best she could with what she had. Santa didn't show up for her. She had to rely on Jesus to make a way out of no way, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's okay if you all want somebody to look up to, if you want to look up to Santa Claus and figure that Santa's going to make it just right and fix it like it ought to be, well, you go right ahead. But you know what? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus and his righteousness. It's about Jesus. Again, I say, Jesus is the reason for the season. And he wants us to be happy. He wants us to be merry. He wants us to get the things. It is his desire. It is, listen, the scripture says, it is the Lord's good pleasure that he gives us gifts, that he gives us things. We're focusing on the wrong person, the wrong thing. So chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost dipping at their nose, and the children, and he even talks about the choir singing carols. That's good. Folks even dressed up like Eskimo. It's cold, so you put on warm things. But don't just focus on Santa Claus. Focus on Jesus. He is the Christ. He is the one. So the songwriter back in back in 17 something, I believe, wrote the song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Yeah, back in 1739, the song was written, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King. Why would he write Glory to the Newborn King? So there must have been kings in the area. Well, we know that Herod, I guess you read your Bible, and I'm sure by now you should know that Herod sought to kill him. Herod was a king. But the songwriter said, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King. Jesus was the Savior of the world. He is the newborn king. None like him. Andre Crouch said, Can't nobody do me like Jesus, for he is my friend. I tell you, Dr. Scott, I really appreciate you with the word, with the story that you was telling about the television program and how you talked about Joseph and you connected some of what was in the television series along with what happened back in the day. But I tell you, the preacher in me is stirred up today. I really want to get this across to the people that Jesus is the reason for the season. Loose here, Satan. Jesus is the reason for the season. And I want somebody to know, because I hear that the suicide rate is very high in the month of December. They try to make people depressed the month of December. I don't know why they want to act like we need to be depressed in the month of December. This is when the children of God, the Christians, need to be celebrating to the highest, because Christ the Savior, whether he was born in October, he could have been born in September, I don't care. All I focus on is that he was found. Just like the scripture said in the book of Luke, it lets you know that, listen to this. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." See how personal that is to you? He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Luke 2, verse 10 through 12. Read it in the King James Version, because it tells you about you'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. That was the sign. That was the sign. That was the sign. I want to know today, what have you done with your baby? Did you find your baby, leave him somewhere else? Or did you find your baby and you brought him with you? For the scripture said, "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." Do you still have your baby? Oh, my God in heaven. Do you still have the word of God on the inside of you? Do you still have this Jesus? For Christ, the Savior, is born. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Huh? Are you singing that song? Oh, come, let us adore him. Or are you singing, "I won't be able to buy the iPhone for Mary Jane. I won't be able to fix the ham for Mary Jane. I don't have money to pay my bills for the month of December for Mary Jane." Or are you going to say, "For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy." Ah, Christ the Lord. It's about Jesus. Yes, I like gifts at Christmas, but I don't take my focus off of Jesus. Don't let your gift from the human person mean more than the spiritual gift that God gave you. God gave his son, Jesus, and his son gave his life. And because of that, we were in sin and in darkness. We no longer have to sit in darkness. Oh, come, let us adore him, him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. So remember that. I believe the day is the 10th day of December. for the next 15 days. Yes, buy your friend, buy your loved one a gift. But make sure you keep Christ in your Christmas. Don't go to the extreme. Don't make yourself depressed because you can't buy this expensive stuff. Yes, I want a Bentley. Hey, but I got Jesus. And I ride in a Malibu. Uh-huh. Yes, I'd like to own a Learjet, but I got Jesus. I drive a Lexus. Hey, yes, I want the four-bedroom suite house I want in every one of the bedrooms, that the person have their own bathroom, that they don't have to come out of their room to take a shower. I want all of that for a car garage. I want all of that, but the house that I live in, I got a roof over my head, got a floor under my feet. I'm living just to say, why? Because I've got Jesus, and Jesus is the reason for the season. Dr. Scott, I'm finished for the day. I would like to send a shout out to my Aunt April, where God gave her a miracle, took her through surgery, and with medicine and prayer, brought her back home safely to us. And I'd also like to send out a shout to one of my listeners, Sister Ruby in Hollywood, South Carolina. And I'm praying for her at her prayer request for herself and for her cousin. And we want her to know that be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. And I just thank you all for listening and being with us on Thursdays and on Sunday, and just blessing God in the beauty of holiness. Remember, hark the herald angels say, hey, glory to the new born king. It's a new king in town, and his name is Jesus. Ah, he's giving sight to the blind. He's healing, ooh, the brokenhearted. He's healing those that are oppressed and depressed. There's a new king, and his name is Jesus, the Son of the living God. I feel Jesus in this place. I feel like getting my dance on. I feel like praising God and thanking him. I feel just like the angels. Hark to hell, angels sing. Whee! Glory to the newborn king. Ah, keep your baby so that you can make connections with the Holy Spirit. Something ought to be moving on the inside. When you hear the name Jesus, the Holy Ghost on the inside of you should start to move. And if you don't feel anything moving, you go back and get in the presence of God and say, touch me, Lord Jesus. I need a touch from on high. I need to feel you from the inside. This is not an outside experience. I heard that a young man went on Sunday and got baptized. But if there haven't been an experience from the inside out, we say at my church, you went down a dry devil and came out a wet one. But you've got to get this baby on the inside. And if you do that, you can say, I had myself a Merry Christmas because I've got Jesus. And that's enough. Dr. Scott, God bless you. I am finally finished for the moment. I could go on, but I'll stop right there. Bless you, Dr. Scott.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much for coming on, Pastor. As always, you're right on time. And what you reminded me of in your message is that when I was talking about the choices that people exercise, and the main choice, the only choice that's really necessary, no matter where they are, is to choose Jesus and to choose that baby on the inside and to live in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to end with the Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Oh, bless his name.
Whoops. Holy, I think I clicked the wrong one.
By Nielsen. And to celebrate, we're inviting you to join Sprint for the biggest offer in U.S. wireless history. Switch to Sprint and save 50% on most Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile rates. Yep, you heard that right. No gimmicks, no tricks. You have Verizon 6 gig for $60, 30 with Sprint. And if you have 15 gigs for $100 from AT&T, 50 with Sprint. Even if you have T-Mobile's 10 gig for $80, we'll give it to you for 40. And we won't force you to watch video in low def. Oh, and one more thing. We'll even pay your switching fees up to $650 per line so you can switch to the Sprint LTE Plus network today. Visit a Sprint store or sprint.com/save50%.
Offer coverage not available everywhere for discounted phones. Excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, and premium content. Subject to new line $36 activation fee. Credit valid port in. Plans may not be exact match. See website for eligible plans. Offer ends 1/7/16, savings through 1/8/18. Exclusions and restrictions apply. Contract by audio. Reward card requires online registration.